Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church this first Sunday in Lent. I'm happy to see all of you here and happy to see a little bit of sunshine. That's nice. A couple of announcements for you. I have heard back from the family of Beverly Ruby, and we will be celebrating her life here at Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on March 2nd. There will be a visitation from 10 to 11, a celebration of life service here from 11 to 12, and then a luncheon at noon. I will also send out an email with all of those details. I also wanted to let you know that I will be out of town this Thursday and Friday for Presbyterian Association of Musicians Conference. I am not a musician, but somehow they invited me and to talk about worship. And so I will be available, but it may take me some time to get back to you. That's where I'll be. I can't think of any other announcements. What am I missing?
The women will be providing chicken, ham, a potato, and vegetable, and a cake. So we will need some side salads.
For the memorial?
Yeah, for the luncheon.
Okay, so for the memorial, Beverly's celebration of life for the luncheon, if you could bring some side dishes, that would be fantastic. We're expecting about 50 people. Okay. All right. With that, let us gather together and center ourselves and proclaim our readiness to worship God with our call to worship. God meets us in the night. Before the sun rises, before the wound heals, before there are answers, before there is closure. God meets us in the light, where joy is effervescent, where laughter is contagious, where flowers bloom from cracks in the sidewalk, and where people gather around the table. God meets us at the threshold, at the edge of the water, at the beginning of the wilderness, at the start of something new, on the edge of faith. And if God meets us in all of those places, then surely God meets us in between, staying with us through the wilderness. We are not alone. God is all around. Let us worship the God of here and now. Please rise in body or spirit for our opening hymn, Be Still and Know. Again and again, God meets us where we are. God's love knows no bounds, which is really hard for us to understand and easy for us to forget. Therefore, in confession, we remember together that we are not alone. And in a unified voice, we once again ask for God's grace in that holy reminder. God, who meets us where we are, we know there is nowhere we can go that you are not. In the good, the bad, and everything in between. But so often we act like we are alone. Instead of coming to you with our hurt, we hold it in or cast it onto others. Instead of coming to you with our joy, we credit ourselves and offer you nothing. How can we long for a deeper relationship with you while living like you are nowhere to be found? Forgive our self-centered ways. Remind us that in every breath, in every step, you are there, before and behind, above and below, within and around. Family of faith, if you hear nothing else today, hear this. God is here. God sees you. God knows you. God meets you at the edge of every new beginning. And God calls you beloved. We are washed by the water. We are called beloved. Thanks be to God for a love like that. Friends, let us now profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace. We have a lot of prayers of concern and joy for our community, so let us lift up all of our prayers for the church and for one another. Oh God, your word is holy and hope-filled. We read these words from the Gospel of Mark today with joy and thanksgiving. The kingdom of God has come near. On this first Sunday of Lent, we give thanks for all the ways that you come near and make yourself known to us. We give thanks for the boundaries you break on our behalf, crossing the heavens to come to earth, moving from the spiritual to the physical in the life and flesh of Jesus. As we follow your beloved Son and our beloved Savior into the wilderness of Lent, we pray for more signs of your kingdom come near in our lives, the lives of those we love, and the whole world. God of all nations, the kingdoms we have built have desecrated your creation and established hierarchies of domination. We pray for an end to violence, war, hostage taking, and terrorism, the abhorrent methods by which one tribe seeks to dominate another. May your kingdom come near, enlightening us to the error of our ways, to the consequences and costs of our sins, to alternative structures that promote peace, justice, and dignity of life for all. Just as your Spirit possessed Jesus on the day of his baptism, may your Spirit fill us with the passion and the courage to pursue a more just world for all, where we can flourish and all creation can be renewed. God of the Incarnation, we praise you for the intimacy of knowing you through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the way you come near in human flesh. You know our joy and our pain. You know our need and that which truly satisfies. You know our suffering and the path to healing. Your presence is a balm to our wounds. Your love is an unfathomable grace. God, be with those we know who are suffering and struggling, as well as those known only to you. We pray for the innocent trapped beneath falling bombs and warring nations. We pray for those forced from their homes, unsafe and insecure, and seeking asylum. We pray for the unhoused and the hungry, struggling to survive. We pray for the overwhelmed and the exhausted, in need of respite, rest, and relief. We pray for those who are ill and their caregivers. We pray for those who are struggling under the weight of grief. God, come near to all those who are suffering. Also, come near to those in our community, those on our prayer list, especially the family and friends of Lowry Osborne, Arlie's sister, who passed away last week, the family and friends of Bev Ruby, who also passed away last week. We pray for Andrea Tweedy Miller, who is hospitalized in ICU and on a vent and facing complications post-surgery. We pray for Cassidy, Lynn Love's daughter, and Mike, who's in the ER right now with a UTI and ovarian cysts. We pray for Barb Krause's daughter, Linda, who with shingles, and her son, Ron, who was recently laid off from his job, as well as Barb's neighbors, Cece and John, following broken elbow and a healing broken hip. We also pray for those that we name silently before you right now. We lift all of these prayers to you, gracious God, confident that you hear us and even know the prayers that we are too afraid to pray. Hear us now as we join our hearts and voices to pray the prayer Jesus taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our hymn of meditation, Led by the Spirit.
Spirit,
Please be seated. God calls us to lives of grateful generosity. Let us praise the giver of all good gifts through our offering today. God of steadfast love and faithfulness, we are humbled as we try to do what is right and walk in your ways. Receive these offerings and use them for your own good purposes in the church and in all creation. We pray in Jesus Christ. Amen.
This morning's scripture reading is Mark 1, 9 to 15 in the NIV version. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit set him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." This is the reading of the word.
Please pray with me. Holy God, we pray that you meet us here in our hope and our heartache, in our fear and our joy, our cupped hands and clenched fists. And if even if we don't hear the words, "This is my beloved," ringing in our ears, we will trust that you are always and forever meeting us here, running towards our hearts. Amen. I think the church calendar is kind of strange. I feel like we just talked about Jesus' baptism, and sometimes it feels a little bit like we're doing Groundhog Day, and just doing the same thing over and over, as if we're reliving the same year, year after year, over and over. And so, in true form, once again, we find ourselves here in Lent. We do this every, like I said, we do this every year. Heck, why do we even come to church every single week? I've heard it said that pastors have three sermons, and they just riff on those three sermons throughout their ministry. I'm still trying to figure out, I know what one of them is. I'm still trying to figure out what my other two are. Maybe you can help me. Maybe you probably know what my other two are. better than I do. So, but like, if we're hearing the same thing week after week, like, why are we still coming here? And the best reason I can come up with is that we're forgetful. It's not enough to hear that we are loved and called to love every once in a while. We need to hear it every day, actually, every hour, even. But at the very least, we need to hear it once a week. We need to hear that truth, because we forget. So this year for Lent, I'll be using the theme again and again. That so often, again and again, is used for kind of negative things, like when we hear bad news or disappointment, and we go, again? Ugh. Individually and collectively, we make the same harmful mistakes again and again. We refuse to learn from the past. So it's not just during Lent, but it's especially prominent during Lent that suffering and brokenness find us again and again. We doubt, we lament, we mess up again and again. Jesus, the story of Jesus on the cross repeats again and again. When the powerful choose corruption over violence, when lives are taken unjustly, when we forget how to love, these things happen again and again, and it all becomes so overwhelming. It seems never ending, and we raise our heads and we just shout, again? How long? How long, oh God? But there is hope. Because God shows up again and again. Despite our best efforts to push God out of the way, we are met by God, repeatedly forgiven, and mercifully shown the way. In Mark's gospel, we learn of three significant events in the life of Jesus, just as he begins his ministry. First, we've got his baptism, and that's where God claims Jesus as God's own beloved son. And then we're given Jesus's experience in the wilderness. And then finally, after John the Baptist's arrest, Jesus begins proclaiming God's nearness and calling for repentance. There are a few things to understand in those three things. First and foremost, God made the first move. God meets Jesus at the water before he even steps foot into the wilderness. Then Jesus declares God's nearness and reign. God's affirmation and love isn't a result of Jesus's success, but precedes Jesus even starting his mission. The other significant point is that God's closeness throughout each pivotal event, God tears open the heavens to be with Jesus, to be with us. And while Jesus is being tempted, God sends angels to attend to him. And then God is so present that Jesus can't help but to proclaim it. God's presence in the Old Testament, though, is a little controversial. The ancient Hebrews understood God to be so holy, so powerful, that catching even a glimpse in your peripheral vision would mean certain death. So thankfully, there was this division between the earth and heaven, between people and God, and that would prevent us from seeing God face to face. But it also kind of prevented God from moving in as much as God wanted to. But at Jesus' baptism, everything changed. Heaven is torn apart. And the Greek word that Mark uses is schizo, which means to tear or to rip. This doesn't give us the impression of something, you know, tender or peaceful or quiet. It's not like the soft opening of a glass sliding door, or like when you gently crack a door open to peek your head inside to sleeping children to make sure that they're okay. What I envision here, that word schizo, that tearing, that ripping, I envisioned like clawing and slicing and ripping and shredding. It's like a child on Christmas morning tearing open a present with anticipation and joy. There's so much excitement as God shreds open the divide to meet us. And God just can't kick it in here quick enough. Another thing that I think of when I read this and I think about that separation, that divide, that sort of like a wall, is there's a poem that Robert Frost wrote in 1914 called Mending Wall. And I'm not going to read it because it's very long, but the gist is, they're two neighbors that come together in the spring, and they've got to repair the stone wall that divides their properties. And the speaker, he's working, he's repairing the wall, and he wonders why this wall is even necessary. Like, all he has are apple trees, all his neighbor has are pine trees. They're not going to, like, cross over. The pine trees aren't going to come and take his apples. His apples trees aren't going to go over and pick up the pine cones. And the neighbor just simply quotes the proverb, "Good walls make good neighbors." So this poem makes me think about the way that God actively breaks down those barriers that we have, both between heaven and earth and the ones that we build apart to separate ourselves from one another. It's not just the heavenly divide that God breaks down. Jesus also breaks through walls in his ministry. Those barriers between Jew and Gentile, man and woman, rich and poor, clean and unclean. We build these walls up, and God tears them down. We build walls to fence in our own ideas about who God is. We try to contain God. As if we can say that God belongs in that place, but not in this place. As if we can control where and when God comes and goes. The speaker in Frost's poem astutely wonders if walls really do make good neighbors. And he asks, "Before I built a wall, I'd ask to know what I was walling in or walling out." And I imagine God wonders why we spend so much of our time and energy on walls. Instead of building and maintaining these expensive and time-consuming walls, we could be building relationships and just systems. We could be building the kinds of things that remove the very need for walls in the first place. Our Reformed theology is one that emphasizes God's initiative. We don't have to go seeking God. God breaks through all of the barriers that we have made to find us. Throughout my life, my church participation has ebbed and flowed, but no matter where I was or how I was thinking about God, I always felt God was close by. God kept finding me through everything. Again and again, God meets us where we are in order to claim, equip, and to send us out to do God's will. God meets us in those liminal spaces, the edge of things, in those spaces where we're tempted to build walls. All of those times of uncertainty and suffering and doubt. And even in our own reluctance, God meets us. God meets us in those scary places of our lives, at the threshold of something new, something unfamiliar. And God promises to watch over us during our time in that wilderness. Because we are part of God's covenant with all of creation, God names us beloved. God doesn't meet us because of what we do, but because of who we are and whose we are. Again and again, God meets us where we are, but doesn't leave us there. We shift from that sinking, sandy ground into something solid and concrete. We change from navel gazing to looking at the community. We change from our personal pietism to justice for everyone. We turn away from behaviors, both personal and systemic, that frustrate God's vision for the world. This Lent, we will be invited to bring to God, again and again, our prayers, our dreams, our hopes and doubts. And we'll continue to love God with the same persistence that God chooses and claims us with. Amid the suffering and the brokenness that we encounter this Lent, we will still proclaim hope again and again and again. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our closing hymn, Lord, Who Throughout These 40 Days. Before we go back out into the world and let God meet us, let me offer a blessing. As you leave this place, may your mouth speak of God's goodness. May your arms hold those in need. May your feet walk towards justice. May your heart trust its worth. May your soul dance in God's grace. And may this be your rhythm again and again and again until God's promised day. In the name of the lover, the beloved, and love itself, go with courage, go with heart, and go in peace. Amen.